It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans today, Romans chapter 9, and we're going to begin reading with the 16th verse, Romans chapter 9, verse 16. And so please that you'd open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. That's 217-847-2717. And if you'd like to email us, it's at parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com or parkviewbible@gmail.com, whichever you prefer. And then our website is parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Romans chapter 9, beginning to read with verse 16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump of make a vessel, one vessel unto honor and the other unto dishonor? What if God, willingly to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also to Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not my beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now, we're going to quit with that today, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and begin this wonderful study. Father, we thank and praise you that we have the opportunity to come together today, study your precious word. I just ask that you would guide and lead us through this study today, and please make us vessels of honor. And Father, we're just saved sinners, is all we are. And I thank you, Father, for your power and your forgiveness and your saving power. Please just continue to guide and lead us and give us the victory that we need. And I thank and praise you, Father, for your precious word. Bring those that are listening to salvation, if they do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today that you will direct them to the cross of Calvary where your Son Jesus died, that, Father, they will recognize their sinners, recognize they need salvation, and recognize the only way that salvation can be gained and victory and life is through your Son Jesus, believing that he died and took away all of their sin. And now they have life. And of course, we know Jesus didn't just die on the cross, Father, but he was raised from the dead. And so it gives us victory over sin and life as well. So please direct us today. Bring those to salvation that are lost and grow us that are saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a wonderful study as we look through these scripture verses. Paul continues to try to explain to these folks concerning the the salvation. It is by grace and grace alone, not by any works that we have accomplished. And verse 16 tells us, so then it is not of him that willeth, or nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. You see, it's not something that we can do. We need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself, the Son of God, we need to turn to him. But we find him on the cross because that's where he took our sins away. Now, of course, he is not still on the cross as some display him. He is not there. He is at the right hand of the Father right now because he's risen from the dead. But you need to meet him at the cross where he died for you, Mount Calvary. You'll come to that cross and you'll recognize that your sins were hung upon that cross. You died upon that cross with Jesus. But you need to accept that free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please come to the Lord Jesus today and trust in him. And so it is not by just something you willeth or something you desire or some work that you've performed. It is by the grace of God and by his mercy only. And says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now we look at that 17th verse, and we can kind of bring in the 18th and 19th, because it's kind of all together. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me then, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Now, we need to look at this because understand that Pharaoh here made a choice. He has a will, and we're going to prove that as we go on down through these scripture verses. Harden Pharaoh's heart just because he chose that Pharaoh was not going to have a choice. He was going to have a hardened heart, and God would use him in the means that he did through with Moses here. That's not the case at all. God knew, as he looked down through time, he could see what Pharaoh was going to do. Pharaoh would openly and with all of his heart reject the word of God. He would reject the grace that God would love to show him. He would reject the mercy that was available to him. He rejected it all, and he picked it up upon his will and his running, and that's what it was, his life, it was his way, and that was the size of it. Because Pharaoh rejected, that's the reason that God sat out and he hardened his heart. Not because it was just God's will that he would harden his heart. No, it was Pharaoh's rejection. That's what brought this about. Now, as we look down through, we find then it says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he hath mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. That is exactly right. But there is the human factor involved in this. It is the will of man. Man has a will to reject or to accept. If you reject, God will harden your heart. There'll be a point of no return because you've rejected that precious gospel. And maybe you've rejected it over and over again. And finally, God says, enough. And each time by your rejection, each time your heart is hardened. Each time you reject that beautiful message of salvation that Jesus hands to you, every time that you turn your back on it, your heart is hardened a little bit more. And there is a point, a place of no return. I don't know when that is, but my God does. And you will find a time, and I have known folks that if you watch their actions, they listen and they listen and they listen, they come to church, and they refuse it, they fight it, they reject that precious gospel. And then all of a sudden there's a day that they are gone. They have finally, I believe, crossed that line. Now only God knows that for sure, but you can see it in their lives because they just continue to get more and more evil because they have rejected that precious gospel that's there. And so you see, the mercy is available to you and He will show you mercy. But if you reject it, your heart will be hardened to a place of no return. That's what happened to Pharaoh. Pharaoh continued as Moses presented and brought the proof of God before him. Each time he rejected it and his heart was hardened. And as his heart was hardened, God applies that hardening of the heart as man does to his own heart, rejecting the word of God. And so that's what we have. And so therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? As we look at this scripture verse here, understand here that God is charged with what is said by Paul leading up to this. God is charged of being unjust. God is charged with not being fair. God hardened Pharaoh's heart, yes. He willed it to harden him, yes. But Pharaoh did just as God willed. Now, that's the argument. It's believed that the divine purpose of God destroys the free will of man. That is not true. It's thought that so whatever God wills, it happens, and man cannot resist God's will. But the fact is that man is a free moral agent. He has that will. Now, it is hard for us to understand that. And that's where these verses of Scripture come in as we get down to the potter and the clay. We cannot understand how that we're dealing with the sovereignty of God and yet the will of man. But God has designed that. God has made it. And it is just that way. And so it is not the will of God that Pharaoh's heart be hardened. It was Pharaoh's desire, Pharaoh's will. And because he hardened his heart, God applied that hardening and it continued. And so you see, it is not the will of God that this take place. But if man refuses the grace of God and refuses the love of God, then God will, He will harden your heart. So understand that. Understand that. That no matter how difficult our little minds for us to get that wrapped around, and a lot of you folks have went with the principles and the idea that some folks can be saved and some can't. That is not the Word of God. The Scripture tells us, whosoever will. Now that doesn't leave anybody out. You're the one that is being left out because you have rejected as Pharaoh did. Moses came to him with so much proof, but Pharaoh just kept trying to drag his gods into it, his fake gods, his dead gods, and saying, I can do this, I can do this. You see, Pharaoh did not listen to the word of God. He did not have his heart softened by the Spirit as the Word of God was presented, the power of God was shown. He did not accept it. He continued to reject it, and so his heart was hardened. And verse 20, it says, But, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Who are you, O man, to accuse God? That's the question here. Who are you that you can question God's ways? And if you say that God is saying that you can't be saved and you can be, that is not the Word of God. The Word of God is a whosoever will. He says, well, I cannot understand that. Well, I just ask you that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, because God does give man a free will. And whatever that will is, then God will apply it. If it's rejection, his heart is hardened. If it's accepting, the grace pours in with power and strength of salvation. So please understand that. We're going to go back to some scripture verses back here to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 16. Isaiah 29, verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, who made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? You cannot take the one that has made, the creator of the world, the creator of man, and you can't say to him, you know, I don't understand this, so it can't be right. It is right. Believe the word of God. Let's go to Isaiah 45, 9. Isaiah 45, 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what maketh thou, or thy work, who hath no hands? Now understand, the clay, as the clay is molded, and as the hands of the master continues to form that clay into exactly what he wants, the clay has no say. The hands, the master that's making it, has the power. And if God says, whosoever will, that means whosoever will, the grace of God can be handed to. Whosoever will. So please come to the Lord Jesus and trust in him. We've got another here, Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. We're going into the Old Testament because here is where the proof has been shown many times. Jeremiah 18, verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. The vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. It is God's will that you be saved. It's God's will that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But if you refuse to believe that God is sovereign, and God's way is the way, and salvation can be yours if you'll just come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But if you reject, know without question that God will harden your heart. And he will harden your heart till there'll be a point that you will never care about the gospel. Not because God has willed that to you, but you have willed that. Let's continue down in verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay, and the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and to the other to dishonor? If you're questioning why some have been so hardened that they'll never return. Understand that God has not willed that. He has the power to, but that's not God's way. God's way is he has locked in, again, I'll repeat this, God's will, man cannot resist God's will is the argument, but understand that there is a factor here, and that factor is the free moral agent. Man has a choice, but there is a point where, when you have rejected so much, don't question God. You can't say, I never had a chance, because you did. You have just rejected so many times that God said, that's enough. And God, being the maker, has the right to say that and the right to harden your heart. But only after you have, by your will, rejected. Verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured much more long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory to the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now let's look at that. Endured with much, the scripture says in verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? It must be understood to mean vessels who, by their own acts, have fallen under the wrath of God. By their own acts. Remember, rejection brings a hardening. Rejection brings a hardening. The more you reject, the harder your heart becomes. Understand that. And then the next is fitted, as we look down in the next verse of the scripture here, the fitted to destruction. You make yourself fitted, you're equipped, you're prepared, you have prepared yourself for destruction. This is not something that God desired. It's what you chose by rejecting. Understand that. Verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared to glory. Prepared here means to commence and contain or continue the work of redemption. That's what he continues to do. He continues to bring forth the work of salvation, the work of redemption. And it continues, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. Anyone that wants to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone that would accept his mercy, his grace, God will then prepare unto glory. What a wonderful scripture verse here. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. You see, we bring in not only the Jews here, but now also the Gentiles. Whoever will listen. Will you listen as the Spirit of God convicts your heart, shows you who you are? Will you listen? That's what it's asking. Will you listen? That's the point. If you reject it, God will harden your heart. That is not God's wishes. That's not God's desire. But as being the potter, he will form the clay. And if it's to dishonor because you have rejected his gospel and your heart, his heart has been hardened, that's what it will be. And he has the opportunity to and the power to make it so. But it's not because he wills it. It's because you willed it. Now, we had that back here in an earlier scripture concerning willeth and runneth. If you're going to do it on your own power, your own strength, destruction will be yours. Because, but of God that showeth mercy, you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to accept Him. You need to come to Him. Call upon Him. We have in the scripture next here is Hosea, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. It shall come to pass that in the place where he said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. We have a wonderful opening here of the Gentiles coming in. Let's go back to Hosea and look at that scripture verse, because you'll find it in chapter 2, verse 23. Hosea 2:23. And I will sow unto her, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had obtained mercy. I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Chapter 1, verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. The door is open to not only Israel, but also to the Gentiles. And we find that in verse 24, and then the quote of verse 25 and 26. Now come on down to 27. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 10. That might be a little easier to find than Hosea. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consummation decree shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make the consummation, even determined in the midst of all the land. Though the people of Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consummation decree shall overflow with righteousness, for the Lord God of hosts shall make a consummation even determined in the midst of all the land. And then let's go to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Let's go back now and let's look at what it's talking about here when it builds up to these verses. As he saith in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. So he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. We're out of time. Will we begin and discuss those verses of Scripture next time we're together? My dear friend, you need to come to Jesus. What shall you do? What are you going to do with Jesus?